All right, back at it, episode 10 of the Crossover Conversations podcast. We are the hosts, the Wyatts. I'm Devin.
I'm Katie.
We are doing the podcast a few days later than normal this week.
Yeah, but we hit double digits.
10th podcast.
Congratulations,
Devin. I don't know if anybody cares, but I care. It seems like a big deal. And it's a good thing we waited a few days because there were quite a few games today over the weekend. Some playoff spots were confirmed, that kind of thing. So
yeah, we're back in full force.
Yeah. Back in full force. Lots to talk about. In fact, let's just go ahead and talk about the playoff picture right now. So right now, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 teams are confirmed in the playoffs. The seeds not necessarily confirmed, but we know for a fact that New York Liberty, Connecticut Sun, Minnesota Lynx, Las Vegas Aces, and the Seattle Storm will be in the playoffs. So that leaves 3 spots up for grabs as of right now.
I think we feel pretty confident about 2 of those spots. I feel confident about the Phoenix Mercury and the Indiana Fever.
Correct.
So they're, I think the Fever just snuck past the Mercury.
They did.
So they are in 6th place, Mercury in 7th.
Correct.
And then it seems like spot number 8 may be up for grabs.
Yeah, 8 is kind of a toss up right now. They're, I mean, between teams 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So All those bottom teams, there's only a 4-game difference between all 4 of them. So in theory, I mean, it would take a lot of crazy things happening. But in theory, the LA Sparks, who are currently the last team in the league, could technically sneak into that 8th spot in the playoffs.
Right, and we're down to the home stretch. So I think we only have, what, like 9 or 10 games
left? Correct. I believe most teams have about 9 games left. So yeah, like I said, would take a lot, but in theory that could happen.
It might not take that much though.
I mean, I guess, well, shoot, if Chicago keeps playing like they're playing, which by the way, they're 1-6 since coming back from the Olympics. So Chicago looks like a almost completely different team and not in a good way.
I think they're really missing Mabry.
Man, I tell you what, the Connecticut Sun, at least on the surface as of right now, looks like they got the much better end of the deal on that one.
Mm-hmm.
She's been playing really well for the Sun. And the Sky seem to be, I don't want to say falling apart, but they're not looking so hot.
I just don't think they have much of a bench play, and that's really hurting them. Mm-hmm. I know Kennedy Carter has been out for a couple games.
Right.
We'll talk about Angel Reese later, but her and Camilla have had good games. They just haven't had the support that they need, I think.
Right, yep. And I think Chicago is banking on the picks. So there were quite a few picks that they got, draft picks that is, in that trade. And so I assume that they're counting on those draft picks being able to provide them with a decent amount of return, I guess, on that trade. Maybe that's their thought process right now. I don't know, to be honest with you.
Maybe so. Right now, it looks like Chicago and Atlanta are actually, they have the same record.
Okay.
So they're 11-21. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious if the season were to end today, if it would come down to head-to-head play, like how they did against each other, or if it comes down to like a point differential.
Yeah.
I'm curious how that works in the W.
Yeah.
Or if they've even seen that before.
Yeah, those are all good questions. My assumption is that it boils down to head-to-head if it's just between 2 teams.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, that's definitely something to look into. The Mystics aren't that far behind either. I mean, the Mystics have a realistic shot.
Well, Mystics and Dallas are also 9-23.
Right. And shoot, the Dallas and the Washington play each other on Tuesday. So that might be a pretty big game,
could
honestly.
Could be a decider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reed and I will be at that game.
Reed is our 3-year-old.
Yes, Reed is our 3.5, almost 4-year-old. Which, while I'm on the topic, we got these tickets as a comp set of tickets because we pulled the trigger, and bought season tickets for next year for the Dallas Wings.
We did.
So we will be, hopefully, attending quite a few more games.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I think we were looking at the tickets that sold today. Today's September 1st, and mm-hmm. the Fever played the Wings here in Dallas, and these tickets were going for $200, $300, $400, $500 a ticket, and that's before taxes, ticket fees, resale fees. And I am pumped to not even have to worry about what ticket prices are going to be when the Fever come, when the Aces come, when the Liberty come, whenever Paige Becker's, you know, whatever team she's on, you know. So that'll be kind of nice for us to not have to worry about that.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely be a relief of sorts to go to games that we want to go to and not have to worry about paying a whole lot of money to go see them.
Yep. Well, we paid a lot of money, on the front end. It'll feel free then.
Exactly. By then, the tickets will be paid off, and it'll feel like, yeah, you're right. It'll feel like it's just a free date night or something.
That's right.
That's funny. The Fever earlier this week got a pretty big win against Connecticut.
That's a huge win.
That's a really big win.
I think, what are they, like second in the league right now?
Currently, yes, ma'am. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, and the Sun are good.
Yeah, they're a good team. I think they might be, I don't know if I want to call them underrated. I just don't think they get the publicity that some of these other higher profile teams get. Well, so they kind of fly under the radar.
I think, so they only had one Olympian.
Correct. Yep.
But I think they had at least two on the WNBA All-Star team. Mm-hmm. And I think they should have had a third with Dejanay Carrington. Mm-hmm. I think Dejanay is probably a favorite for most improved during the year. And
absolutely.
She's just incredibly scrappy, and she's intimidating to play against. Mm-hmm. But she always looks incredible. So she kind of has the it factor. But yeah, that was a good game, I guess, depending on who you're for. But either way, it was a competitive game.
Yes, it was a fun game to watch.
Fun one to watch, yes, for sure.
Absolutely, yep. And that was the Fever's, I believe, the ninth home win in the last 10 home games they've had. So it's almost like Chicago and Indiana are reverse of each other. Chicago is 1-6 in their last 7 games, and the Fever are almost the exact opposite. Fever on a real hot streak right now. I think that Olympic break did them a lot of good. I think you can make a pretty solid argument that they are the best looking post Olympic break, most improved, whatever you want to call it.
I think they have the best record
since the break.
Yes. Okay. I think I read that somewhere.
So I'm not just making that up then.
Okay, but there was at least one other upset this week, wasn't there? The Wings beat the Lynx.
Correct, yes.
And the Lynx are number 3 in the standings.
Right, yeah, the Wings, up until earlier this evening when they lost to the Fever, the Wings were on a 3-game win streak, which was the first time this season they've won three in a row.
The Wings have also looked like a different team.
Yes, getting Satu back has helped them tremendously. I think the first couple games with her back, they were still trying to figure out how to play with each other again. Right,
the rhythm.
Right, exactly, getting their rhythm. But now these last 3 or 4 games, they've looked like a pretty dang good team.
They have, and I know that they have Maddie Segrist back as well. I think she had like a hand injury.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And then Natasha Howard, I feel like I haven't heard much about her, but I know she's gone off in the last several games as well. Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
I hope to see Dallas in it in the playoffs. I don't think that they're going to be ranked low enough to get like a Paige Becker's, but
yeah,
I hope they make the playoffs. That'll make our season ticket values maybe go up a little bit.
Yeah, for real. Can resell them and make our money back in the first couple of games.
That's right.
Oh, that's funny. What else were we talking about?
Quite a few games though this past week. Today was a fun day because most of the games were staggered. Mm-hmm. Fever beat the Wings. Like I said, they were here in Dallas. Right. Aces beat the Mercury. Dream beat the Sparks. Sun beat the Storm. Lynx beat the Sky. Not a whole lot of surprises today, but I will say in the last week, there have been some insane records broken between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark.
It's a good point. There have. You want to expound on that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there have been a ton. Like, people find stats out of the woodwork. I mean, I don't even know how they identify these stats. But here are just some of the highlights. So Angel Reese sets the WNBA record for most rebounds in a single season. And she is a rookie.
That's insane. Well, not only is she a rookie, but there's still 9 or 10 games left.
Yes.
Which is insane to me.
To be able to do that with almost an entire month left of basketball is unbelievable.
That's insane.
And so it says she shattered the W single season rebounding record with 405 rebounds.
Wow.
She surpassed Sylvia Fowles.
Oh, wow. That's a big name.
And that was 6 years ago that Sylvia broke the record with 404.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, she's going to continue for sure. She's been hitting like 20 rebounds a game.
That's absurd.
Which is unbelievable. It really is. And I heard her have an interview today, and she, you know, she commented on, you know, people saying that she's rebounding her own shots and she's only rebounding because she's the tallest person on the team. And she is one of the taller people on the team, and she is rebounding some of her own shots, but statistically that is not what is making up the large majority of her shots. She is not the tallest person. Like, we can't just say that this is because she's rebounding her own shots because she's tall. Like, she is an athlete. Yes. Like, let's give her some respect.
Absolutely. Because there's a lot of cherry picking going on.
No, there totally is. And, you know, we talk about stat padding. It's like there could be arguments for literally every person.
Oh, sure. Padding. Yeah. If you dig hard enough and you really want to, you could make up something for, like you said, for anybody. Absolutely. I mean, you can't honestly tell me that Angel Reese is going to purposely miss a basket that could help her team win a close game just so she can get an extra rebound. That makes zero sense to me.
Okay, so here's another record. Angel Reese makes history with 23 double-doubles in her rookie season. She passes Tina Charles, who set the record in 2010, with 22.
Wow.
And once again, she still has a month left of basketball.
Yep.
That's so insane. She certainly deserves some recognition.
Man, this makes me think, is the level of play, not that the level of play in the WNBA has been bad in the past. I don't want to say that, but is the level of play that we're seeing getting better, and is it going to continue to get better? Or is it just a style of play is changing?
That's a good question, because I was thinking today about Angel Reese. It's like she's breaking all these insane rebound records in the W, but like, was she breaking these records in college too? Like, was anyone keeping track, or is it just a different game?
Yeah, I mean, surely if she was breaking rebound records, people would have taken notice in college.
I mean, I think so too, and people took notice of her in college, but like, these stats are insane in the W, and we just didn't hear the same kind of stats. We more just heard about her is kind of like a character, you know, and
yeah, you're right,
in the NCAA. And I mean, obviously she's known to be beautiful and an incredible athlete, but I am happy for her that she doesn't need the stats, but I'm happy for her that she has them, because I do feel like it would feel like you're justified, you know,
definitely.
Mean it like it kind of makes your athleticism and how you stand out more tangible.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And then moving on to Caitlin Clark. So these two went head to head on Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The matchup was, the Fever have won two of the games. Sky won the last one. They've won just the one, and then the Fever won this past one. Kennedy Carter was out. But like we mentioned earlier, these two teams have kind of just gone in different directions since the Olympic break. But
definitely.
So Caitlin Clark has the most double doubles by a guard in a single season in WNBA history. So that is not just rookies. That is everyone. So that's amazing. And then there are just a ton for Caitlin, you know, these stats that are impressive, but that I'm just kind of like, how did people come up with that?
You know what this reminds me of? I can't remember what sportscaster commentator it was or group of people, but they have they call them LeBron stats. And it's because it's basically like you dig for the most obscure stat of all time just to have a stat. And that kind of seems what's happening here.
Yes, no, for sure. And I mean, I imagine that these are very like hard to get, you know, but here's what I'm seeing. So Caitlin Clark has 5 games this year with 20 plus points and 10 plus assists. The most such games in a single season in WNBA history. Only Sabrina Ionescu has more than 3 in a career, and she has 5.
Huh.
Wait, those are the same. Yep. Say they're the same.
Like I said, LeBron stat. Digging for a number.
Well, I mean, because this one says she's notched her 3rd game with 25 points and 10 assists. Oh, this says 25 points and 10 assists, and then the other says 20 points and 10 assists. So, yeah, I mean, I think that these are all incredible, but they're kind of hard to picture, you know, because it's so
water's getting so, muddy.
They're so granular, yeah, but, I mean, absolutely. I imagine they're very good. Mm-hmm. Here's another one. Caitlin Clark is scoring or assisting on 36.7 points per game, and that is the highest season average in WNBA history. Huh. That's a little easier for my brain to picture.
That one seems like a pretty legit stat to me, though.
Yeah.
That means she's accounting in some way or another for over a third of her points her team's points.
Right. Yeah, that's so funny. I didn't know they were called LeBron. What'd you call them? LeBron.
LeBron stat. Because if you look, they're always coming up with some random obscure stat for LeBron. You know, he's the oldest person to score 15 points and 10 rebounds in 3 consecutive games. You know, just random things.
Got it.
Like
okay.
That. They just call them LeBron stats.
Yeah, well, they're confusing, and I probably won't be spouting out any more of LeBron stats. Yeah.
Caitlin did set a legit record, though, this weekend. She became She became the leader in 3-point makes for a WNBA rookie. Did I say that right?
Really? 3-pointers made?
For
a rookie? Is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, so she has the highest percentage of 3-pointers made for a rookie.
Well, not the highest percentage, but the most 3-pointers made in a season.
Oh,
there you go. That's the right way to say that. Sorry. Sorry, I said that in a super confusing way. I apologize.
I'm curious who has it on the percentage made, because I feel like Caitlin's percentages are not bad, but they're certainly not as good as I feel like they were
college. I feel like on any given game, she's probably shooting between 25 and 35% from 3-point range, which like you said, that's not bad. I mean, if you shoot anywhere close to 30% from 3-point range, that's considered pretty good.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's not anywhere near what I imagined she was doing in college.
So I have another stat for someone else. This is just kind of a bonus.
Is it a LeBron stat?
It's not a LeBron stat. So as we mentioned, the Fever and the Wings played tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And Arike Ogunbowale had an incredible game, okay?
She did, yes. She had 25 points in one half.
She had 25 points in one half. She made 9 3-pointers tonight, and it ties the WNBA record for threes in a game.
Goodness.
She went off. Arike is one of the most incredible players in the WNBA, and at the same time, she is one of the easiest players to like and to root for. And I don't know how the WNBA has not made her like the poster
for
child.
Real. How have you not leaned into her by now and for lack of a better term, rode her coattails, you know, to wherever. I mean,
she just truly seems like an incredible human. She has an infectious smile.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she just, you know, won the MVP for the WNBA All-Star game.
And she's a ridiculous player.
She throws out numbers like this. Yes.
Yeah.
I just hope to see her rise and do well. And I know that her contract doesn't end this year, but I hope whatever next contract she gets is just incredible.
Yeah. I think she is, so I need to phrase this carefully, within WNBA circles, people that pay attention, I think she gets the credit she deserves. But I think outside of either hardcore fans or people that are commentating on games and paying attention, I think she doesn't get the recognition that she needs.
She's certainly nationwide. Not a household name like she correct. Should be.
Yes, most people are talking about Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and some or other rookies
just like
or Asia
legacy
Wilson.
Players. Yeah. Like Sabrina and
correct.
Stewie
yep.
and
yep. Asia
know.
Wilson, Kelsey Plum, you know,
yes.
names like that.
Right.
It's not that those people don't deserve anything that they're getting, because they do, but man.
She's just equally, or not, if not more talented than
exactly.
several of those.
Yes,
women.
I've been saying it almost all season. I'll say it again. I think Arike is by far the best one-on-one player the WNBA has. If she's making shots on a given night, good luck. You're not going to stop right. her. It's just a matter of, can you slow her down enough to where you can score more points than her?
Right. She's cool. She's cool to watch.
Yep. Speaking of one-on-one, she's going to be in the Unrivaled League. Who else is going to be in the Unrivaled League, Katie?
Yes. So we had a few more announcements this past week. We had Skylar Diggins-Smith. She was just announced a couple days ago. She plays for the Storm.
Correct.
We've
yep.
talked about her a little mm-hmm. bit before. You know, I have heard her name a lot. I don't really understand the hype around her. I think it's maybe I haven't watched the Storm a ton. Maybe
could be. They play a lot of late games, at least for us, being
right.
on the West Coast.
Right. And I'm sure she's a starter and whatever. But, I mean, was she even a WNBA All-Star this year? I don't know. I mean, maybe she's...
I don't think so. So she was really popular back when you and I were in college.
Okay.
She
Which
was...
Which was like 2010 to 2014,
yeah, somewhere in that time frame-ish. Yes, she was... She played for Notre Dame, and she at that time was like the it guard for about a year or two.
Okay.
Maybe longer than that. I mean, she was good, one, and then two, she had, you know, she was pretty. So that helped
that
her
helps,
in the
yeah.
in the national media as well. So I think those were the two things that kind of made her the media darling, if you will, of
Got
the
it.
Of those years.
Okay, because I mean, like I said, I haven't watched her play a whole lot, but she doesn't seem like a media darling. She kind of seems like she's gonna get up in your face and kind of tell you what's up.
Yeah.
So,
the
next person that was announced is Natasha Cloud, who before
okay.
this year I did not know Natasha Cloud, but she's another one that I just love her personality.
Yep.
She seems like she is, you know, real serious on the court, which most all of them are. But
right.
she seems like she is a very intelligent player. She speaks highly of her competition.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't seem threatened by younger players who
yep.
maybe get more attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really appreciate that.
She's very
that.
Secure in where she's at.
Yes. I appreciate
Which
that
is,
so
yeah.
much about
mm-hmm.
her. And I also think she's striking. I can't really explain it, but I think she's super cool. And then the last one that they recently announced was Alicia Gray, who plays for the Atlanta Dream.
Yes, who you fell in love with in the WNBA, the Skills Challenge.
That's right. That's right. I think she's so cool. She has, she wears the goggles, and
uh-huh.
she's admitted, you know, it's just because she's more comfortable wearing them. They're not glasses. They're not... for any specific reason. It's just she's taken enough injuries to the eyes or something like that where it's just comfortable for
mm-hmm.
her. But yeah, she's cool, and I like her just camaraderie with other players. Like, I know her and Asia Wilson are close, and their banter back and forth on
yeah.
on Twitter, you know, is fun to kind of tune into. And and then she's good too. I mean, the skills challenge makes it so that we don't have to describe, you know,
how good
she
is.
Is
yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
I think that those are great ads. You know, I've seen a lot on Twitter this past week, people begging for Caitlin Clark to not be in Unrivaled. Really? What is your take on that, Devin?
Huh. I kind of wonder why.
I think it's because they want the league to be about these other women.
Like, I see.
I think they feel that Caitlin Clark would steal the show.
Okay.
And I think it's probably a lot of fans who were W fans prior to Caitlin Clark.
Mm-hmm. That would make sense.
And I think that, I mean, let's talk about it, because every single place where Caitlin Clark goes, the stands are full, even if they're not Indiana fans.
Right.
But like most of the time, they feel like home games for Indiana because these Caitlin Clark fans, such as ourselves, you know, show up.
Yep, they show
up. But really, though, even tonight after the Dallas Wings and the Fever game, Satu, you know, she was interviewed and she said, "I'm disappointed that there were so many Caitlin Clark fans." She was like, "I think it's great for the league. It's great for the players that we're getting visibility like this." But she said, like, "I am disappointed in the Dallas fans." You know, that weren't Dallas Wings represented, it, you know, like fans represented here.
Oh, I get it 100% from her. And I 100%
get it too. And I wonder if with this league, this Unrivaled league, if people are just wanting it to be about just the basketball and not the hype of Caitlin Clark, which she is basketball, but like, I kind of get it. Like, I want to see her on it because that's going to draw me in to watch this more. But I understand the people who are just kind of like, "Hey, can we just get a break?" You know, like, because everyone's going to want to see her.
Oh, yeah.
It is 100%. What it is.
I think I've got two initial thoughts. My first is, if this Unrivaled League really just wants to, I don't want to say make as much money as possible, but make a good chunk of money, and they want to be able to play the players a good chunk of money, then it makes absolute sense to get Caitlin Clark on board.
Yep.
Because whether you like it or not, or whether you want to admit it or not, the money's going to come with her. But on the flip side of that, if I'm Caitlin Clark, I honestly think I'd say no. I think that the rest, at least this offseason, the rest for her is going to be more valuable than playing in some 3-on-3 league for a couple months. I think that she doesn't need the money, so why risk getting hurt or anything like that in a league where, yeah, she's going to make some money, but it's not like the main show, if you will. Like, the WNBA season is her main thing that she's going for, so why risk getting hurt? And then, you know, I guess to a certain kind of to your point, you know, why, if you kind of are in agreement with everybody else in the league that wants to grow the league as a whole, not just you as an individual, why take away from other people? So I don't know. If I'm her, I'd say no.
Wow. Yeah, I hear you. And I understand all of the reasons. I just know I personally, like, I think we will watch Unrivaled no matter what, but
yes.
I will be more invested
if she's there.
If she is in the, yes, if she's there. I'm also just curious what her 3-on-3 game is, if, you know, if kind of if she has one. Yeah,
I was literally about to say there's also a degree of risk to her if she does join this league, because 3-on-3 is not the same as 5-on-5. We saw that in the Olympics. I mean, there's a reason why the three players, sorry, four, I guess, technically, on the 3-on-3 roster, you know, two of them were in the WNBA, but the other two, one has been but isn't anymore, and the other one's still in college, and they play completely different styles. It's a lot shorter. I mean, there's a degree of risk if Caitlin joins. Like, what happens if she gets, what the media is going to spin it as, is she gets exposed as not being as good as everyone thought she is, or not being able to do X, Y, Z on the court like everyone thought she could, because the style of play and the game itself is just different.
Yep. Yeah, no, I know. I'm also, if Caitlin is not an Unrivaled, I want to know if she was offered to be on a team. Yeah,
I would be interested to know that. Yes.
Absolutely. I don't know if we'll ever find out, but.
Who do you think on that topic is, because we have what, two, roughly half of the players left to go,
so
to be announced.
17 players out of the 30 have been announced.
Oh, okay, so a little bit less than half. So yeah. of what's left, who do you think, not just rookie, just anybody, who do you think is a legitimate, I would be shocked if they're not in this?
I haven't thought about, I mean, I'd have to look at all the players that are in it. I really
okay,
don't.
That's fair. That's fair.
I can't even tell you right now. I don't know, but you asked the question. So did you have someone on your mind?
No one specific.
You know, someone did throw out there, like, what if they have retired players come out?
Ooh, now that's a good thought.
I would love to see. I mean, how many years retired has Sue Bird? How many years has Sue Bird been retired for?
I'm pretty sure this is her first year of retirement.
She only retired last year?
Pretty sure, yeah. Maybe 2 years ago.
I mean, I'd love to see her play because I've never seen her play live. Yeah. I'm sure I could find it on a video, right. But that would be fun.
That'd be kind of cool to see. I mean, Maya Moore, she's been out of the league a little bit longer, but it hasn't been that long. I mean, she was playing college ball at the same time you and I were in college.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. She was, she's either a junior or senior, freshman year.
Okay, this is Sue Bird. Retired in 2022, so 2 years ago. And so who is it that retired last year? She's on the Aces.
I'm not sure who you're talking about, to be honest with you.
On the Aces.
I'm not sure.
Candace Parker.
Oh, come on, yes. Man. Sorry, Candace
I rely
Parker.
On you to know these.
I'm sorry. These yes, I definitely should have known that.
Players,
yeah.
Because I don't know them.
Yep, she could definitely come back.
Anyway, that would be kind of fun.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Especially because, I mean, we just have a whole new audience now.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And I'm not saying these retired players, you know, are coming back for a ton of money, but kind of just get their name out there,
yeah.
You know?
If nothing else, just be fun to watch. Just right. Entertaining. Yeah. Huh, that's interesting. A second ago, you mentioned Skylar Diggins-Smith also joining Unrivaled, which made me think of Seattle Storm. I don't think we've talked about this, but Gabby Williams signed with them. We didn't talk about this last time, did we?
I think we talked about that last time.
Oh, did we? Okay. All right, never mind then. Never mind. I just wanted to make sure we mentioned it, and I didn't think we had last time. So
yeah, she's gotten some playing time, though.
She has. She's other than the first game with the team. That's right. I think we talked about it, like, literally the day she signed. Mm-hmm. So she signed, and then I believe they played – a game like a day later or something like that. She did not play in that game. She came in for a little bit the following game, but then every other game since then, she's actually started.
Has she really?
She has, yep.
Wow.
Yep, she's
awesome.
Been starting.
Good for her.
She hasn't been scoring, you know, 20 points or anything, but yeah. She's been doing enough to obviously garner starting.
Right.
So, good for her.
One more person I want to talk about who I just think is kind of an interesting uh-huh. story. Celeste Taylor.
That is an interesting story.
She was, who did she play for? Ohio State. She mm-hmm. was drafted by the Fever. She got dropped from the Fever several weeks into the season.
Right.
And she has been on at least 4 7-day contracts now. And three of the four have been with the Mercury, the Phoenix mm-hmm. Mercury. And she's played for them, and I think she's done pretty well. So,
yeah.
You know, I learned about the 7-day contracts a couple of episodes ago, and it's interesting, and I'm curious if she'll work this season to hopefully get signed full-time next year.
Right. Yeah, I mean, she's putting herself in a position where teams are going to see her as a potential valuable bench piece to come off the bench and help. And I think even more important, she's letting teams overseas I say even more important, typically, historically, more important. She's letting teams overseas see that, hey, you know, I can play and be effective in the WNBA.
Yeah,
so sign me to play with you guys.
Right,
and
that's a good point.
And pay me good money.
Yep, more video time, more, what do they call it?
Airtime, more film?
Film time, yeah.
Yeah, she's got a lot more game film to send to whoever she wants to overseas. So, yeah, she could make a pretty good amount of money overseas. All because of these 7-day contracts.
Yeah, good for her.
So good for her. I read this week that Delta Airlines is the official airline partner of the WNBA. I guess Delta is the one that's providing the airplanes and crew and everything for the chartered flights for the WNBA now, and I guess they made an official agreement. I can't remember what year it's through, but it's for several years. I thought that was kind of interesting.
I guess it is interesting. I don't really know much about it. I did read that the plan is for Delta to make kind of these digital videos you know, give a little bit of intel into the life of a,
like behind the scenes,
right? Like traveling, you know, WNBA team. And I mean, depending on the person that they follow, they could really get some attention.
Right.
There.
I think everybody wants to see the behind the scenes, what's happening when these players aren't on the court. And that goes for any sport. So I think they're kind of onto something there.
It sounds like Delta has been public about just their commitment to engage with women's sports. Because I guess they have some kind of agreement with women's golf. They're the like official airline of the National Women's Soccer League.
Didn't know that.
So it sounds like there are a couple of other leagues that they're partnering with, and it looks like they're expanding. It says, as the official airline of champions, Delta has flown for 75 championship teams across many sports leagues, including the 2023 WNBA champions, Las Vegas Aces. So they're trying to get their name out there. You know, it's hard to be an airline. I feel like when, you know, you do something wrong, you get blown up on social media. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's going to make me use Delta, but, you know, if they have good content, maybe I'll give them a follow on Instagram.
Right.
Who knows?
Right, exactly. I'm not going to spend an extra. If it's between them and another airline, their tickets are $500 more. I'm not going to buy a Delta airline ticket just because. You're right. But, yeah, it's interesting nonetheless. Well, I think that is a good stopping point for this week. Next week, we'll be back. A couple of games will have gone by, so we might have a couple of more teams that have solidified playoff positions.
Yeah, we may have a better picture of where things are going to land. It looks like the last day of the regular season is going to be September 19th.
Okay, so
here in
just a little over
18 days, I guess.
Right, yeah.
Well, less than 3 weeks.
Yep.
So
it's definitely heating up then. The bottom of the league, the shuffling around. Hopefully we'll get some more clarity on that by the end of this week. So it'll be interesting. You guys have to stay tuned. We'll walk you through it all. We'll have all the news, the info, the stats, everything you could possibly imagine. But for tonight, thanks for watching, or listening, I should say. We are the Crossover Conversations Podcast. Your host, The Wyatts. I'm Devin.
And I'm Katie.
Thanks again, guys.